Hey, we're back, and we're bringing the fire and the fury.
Woo!
I know.
Sheesh. We'll catch you up about the things that we missed from the break and look forward to what we've got going on in 2018.
I cannot believe it's 2018. Welcome to the new year, folks. It's Tuesday, January 9th. Welcome to the Political Beat.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, 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 we're back. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's The Political Beat, the millennial show and podcast, breaking down the latest in Washington politics and news from around the country and the world. I'm your host, Drexel Hurd, the millennial moderate left. I changed it from moderate to the millennial moderate because it made a little bit more sense. Moderate left, you can follow me on social media at Drexel Hurd.
Well, but now I'm confused. What's a millennial moderate different from a plain old moderate?
It just sounds better.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I guess I'm the millennial lefter of the left?
Yeah, I just made it up. Okay.
Probably good if I knew about this stuff. But okay, left of the left, millennial left of the left, whatever it is, I'm cooler than Drexel. I'm Chelsea
goodness.
Galicia at Chelsea Galicia.
Yeah, be sure to follow the show at Political Beat TV on Twitter where you can, find things, fun things. We're so glad to be back, second week of January. It's already a little crazy.
I'm like, okay, we're just going to ease back into this.
No
easing.
There is no easing on down that road.
Oh, but it's some good stuff.
Yeah. It feels like we never left this studio. We were just here last with Christian and Scott and doing that double show. How was your break?
Well, I'm a nerd. So like my break was fun because, I got a new investment property and I cleaned up finances and I'm like ready for 2018 and all sorts of things that people
during all that.
But 2018 is going to be a good year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Do anything fun for New Year's?
I am not a New Year's person. I think it's a bit silly. I don't know. I'm just not into it.
I feel like everybody that I've asked that question to has been like, it was so low key. I did a low key New Year's. And I was like, well, yeah, after 2017, after dealing with Donald Trump for an entire year, we all needed a little break. So we all chose like the least amount of work that we could do for New Year's Eve.
I like that explanation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just played board games and drank with some friends and Tim worked and then he met us after and that was it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only a little less fabulous than my investment thing, but,
Yeah.
We can't all be nerds at the same time.
Yeah, I didn't do any reading, so I wasn't very nerdy either over this break.
Reading?
I watched a lot of Harry Potter, so that's very nerdy, but that was about it. Hmm. Well, while we were hoping to be considered for tomorrow's fake news awards, live from the White House.
We are
for your consideration, which you can find our for your consideration thing, to Donald Trump on Political Beat TV on Twitter.
Wow, I missed that.
Yeah.
That would be the honor of a lifetime.
Wouldn't it? Best political millennial podcast
Fake news
award of the year.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, in the breakdown we're gonna run through some of the stories that made headlines over the break. In the breakdown, we're gonna talk about some of the laws from right here in California that could essentially make their way to your own cities. And then we've got a big bombshell today. Dianne Feinstein just dropped the bomb on America. We'll talk a little bit about Fusion GPS, and then it's an election year with all 435 congressional seats up for grabs. Might we see a blue wave in
can't wait to find
that
out.
This country desperately needs? So let's get started on a few things. So Chelsea,
the tax
what do we
bill,
miss?
The tax bill, the bill that I really thought was not going to happen, and then it did.
It did. We said that. Remember when I was like, "Oh, I don't think it's going to happen."
No, I was.
They don't have the
sure
votes
it
for
was
it.
Not. I thought that it was going to be voted down by the deficit hawks, the people that do not like adding to
the Bob Corkers, I thought Bob Corker was going to be the vote that they couldn't count on, which he has turned a 180 on the way that he has handled Trump, him and Lindsey Graham. I don't know what's happening. I think they're all being blackmailed, and I think they need to blink twice.
We will
if
come
something's
save
happening,
you.
We Democrats will come and save you. It surprised me.
I was just
51-48. and the House passed it 224 to 201.
And that it's so unpopular among Republicans, I mean, citizens.
Right.
And that it's still passed, so...
Well, they don't care. Republicans don't... They just don't care about... What do I say, like, every episode? Republicans don't care about the American people.
Well, but I don't understand then how Republican people keep electing them. I wonder if this will be... Finally, they'll be like, all right, enough. I see for sure that you know that I don't like this tax bill and you still voted for it.
Right, because I don't... I always say that I believe that Republican voters, A, they vote, they're one issue voters on social issues. So automatically, if you are pro-choice, that's it for them. And we're talking strictly conservatives. But on the other side, their religion lends them to believe that their party's inherently good and that they're going to make good on their promise.
I mean, that almost sounds like a mean thing to say. And at this point, I feel like I need to step in and defend you from anybody who's like, wow, Drexel, what a mean thing to say. But like, you used to be one of them.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago when the party was a little bit different. Like, things were a little bit different back then. In the terms of, it was not this party that we see today. It was a very, you know, I always talk about the Republican Party in 2000, 2004. It was a very different time. And when you're a military kid, you see the world through national security lenses because that's what you live through.
And so do we right now have people that, Republicans that voted in these people because they thought big military, big on
national
defense?
No, but those type of Republicans aren't voting for Republicans because of military strength. I mean, they want strength projected because they want to. I mean, you know, that voter loves this manly, this masculine persona.
Okay, how do we fix that?
Watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
And what's that going to do for us?
I don't know. It might make folks a little happier. I don't know.
I just, wow. I mean, the fact that this, you know, tax bill, this new tax law, it's not even a bill anymore. It's a law.
It's the law.
It's going to hurt Trump voters, you know, more and more over the years, right? Because the benefits to this law kind of get phased out in the next couple of years, while the benefits to corporations only get enhanced over the years. So,
and Republicans, you know, it's one of those things that Republicans have made harder. You know, when Democrats voted in Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, they put safeguards in place to make sure that it would be harder to dismantle. And something tells me from everything that I've read that Republicans have made it have put their own safeguards in there. So when Democrats do sweep into power, it's going to be a little bit harder for them to dismantle some of those things.
Wow, that's frightening.
Speaking of one of those Republicans that voted for this tax bill, Orrin Hatch is retiring. Did you see
Bye-bye.
That? Like, I'm not sad about it.
I only heard about it because it was like the whisper behind Senator Romney. And
right.
I was like, wait, huh, what? And so it was like people are already over talking about the fact that Orrin Hatch retired or is going to retire soon, even though Trump basically begged him not to.
Yeah, went to Utah, did a rally, called Orrin Hatch on stage and was like, I really hope that you don't leave us.
He had that accent?
That's the only.
You've been doing some really frightening accents today.
Are they accurate? Is what I want to know.
Well, I'm.
I was Jefferson Beauregard Sessions on Hellbent podcast yesterday. Today I am Donald Trump on the show today.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not, you know, at all sad that Orrin Hatch is going to bye bye. And I mean, it's so bizarre that at this point the idea of Senator Romney sounds like, whoa, gosh, okay, reason.
Yeah.
Rationale. Except that I don't know if he would really vote all that differently when push comes to shove.
I don't think that he would. I mean, obviously from an economic side, from a business side of it, he would obviously be on the side of business. And that's what the things that we know, we already know Mitt Romney from 2012. We're not going to learn anything new about Mitt Romney when he runs.
And is he going to vote office. Any differently than the way Orrin Hatch is voted?
I think we'd have to look back at the way that he governed Massachusetts, probably a little bit more liberally.
But he's going to represent Utah here.
Right.
So
I don't know.
I don't think Utah is as liberal as Massachusetts.
They are not. And maybe Evan McMullen will jump into the race. Remember, he ran for president. He's the ex-CIA agent who ran for president. He might jump into the race, but I have not. He was on MSNBC last night. I have not heard anything from him that indicates that he's interested in running for that seat. The FBI.
I think we're getting to it soon, but I am just so excited to get to it. In Jeff Flake announcing that he's not going to run again.
Well, Jeff Flake announced a long time ago that he wasn't going to run.
And then today.
But Joe Arpaio said, bing, 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 bing. Joe Arpaio kind of reminds me of Yosemite Sam. like he's just shooting him up in there, and that is my picture of Joe Arpaio.
Life is a cartoon of that.
Rounding up the immigrants. That is Joe Arpaio.
Oh my God. At first, I was appalled by the idea that he was going to run for the Senate. And then I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I have this whole new way of looking at things. I can't even tell you this interesting awakening thing occurred to me over the break. But now I'm seeing almost everything as good news. It's very bizarre. And I really do see this as good news. Why? Because I think that this is the whole Roy Moore, Doug Jones,
Ed Gillespie
situation all over again. But for those who watch the Trump Report, why you should really be invested in this race is that Christian and I have a bet. Because Christian believes that Arpaio is going to win. He believes that because Arpaio was actually convicted of a crime and isn't just some potential child molester, but an actual criminal convict, that it makes him more likely to be voted in. I think that that's ridiculous. But when Christian loses, he is going to have to wear the pink underwear that Arpaio had the prisoners wear.
On his head?
I think we should add that.
I think we should add that. Mm-hmm. It will be his pussy hat.
Oh.
For the woman.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think about taking it there, but I think
we Women's March coming up January 21st. But January 20th, sorry.
If Republicans vote for Arpaio for senator,
I don't think that they will.
Arizona, I just, and thank goodness, you know, the voice of reason, Scott Moore with his, you know, stats was listing off how badly Arpaio lost in this last election for sheriff. And so he's loved-ish in Arizona, but definitely not that much.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to him running to ruin the race for Republicans, because this is how an unlikely Democrat will come away with the seat.
Well, like I said to you earlier, Jeff Flake was already unpopular, and there was a Republican, I can't remember what her name is, I think that's Kim Charles Kim. I thought Kim Charles Kim was in New Jersey, but Kim Charles Kim is in Arizona, actually.
I don't know.
And I believe that was the challenger that was going to go up against John McCain, but now is running for Jeff Flake's seat. So if Joe Arpaio gets in, it's going to be another Luther Strange, Roy Moore situation for Arizona.
Yeah. Good times ahead.
Yeah. Last thing I just want to talk real quick about, for those that don't know, your vote is safe across the country, because the Voter Fraud Commission is not going to come and or at least not anytime soon come and try to grab any of your information and then use it to their advantage, because that's what Republicans do.
I feel like we're so mean to them, but it's like,
but it's that's true. That's the reality.
All right. Well,
I don't know if we're mean. We're just the truth is mean.
I guess sometimes the truth hurts.
The truth does.
I know.
Hurt.
I just don't want to seem so jaded that we think that they are just downright evil and can't do anything right.
But I don't think they're evil. Mm-hmm. I think that they they're just really bad people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you know, I mean, there was no good reason for this voter fraud commission at all,
other than scaring the shit out of people.
Right. But secretaries of state were just like not going
along
with it.
Both Republicans and Democrats.
Because they would have had to violate law to turn over people's personal information. Yeah. And some people care about not breaking the law.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
For some people would segue nicely into this FBI Clinton Foundation update.
Yeah. 30 years later, Republicans are still attacking Hillary Clinton, even though she's not running for anything, even though she's nowhere to be found. Listen, she's in the woods with Justin Timberlake.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
No, Justin Timberlake. Listen, Chelsea's break was clearly did not have a lot of pop culture in it.
No, actually.
Justin Timberlake has a new album coming out.
Yeah, but what
he's
is
called Man in the Woods.
And
he's out there with Hillary Clinton.
Well, I'm totally
he's not out there with Hillary Clinton.
I mean, I think so.
The album is called Man in the Woods.
I got it.
It was a shitty song that he just released, though, called Filthy.
That's what I heard.
Good. It was not good. Mm. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, FBI is looking into Clinton Foundation because Donald Trump has nothing else to do but look at guerrilla television on his TV.
What? All right.
Just making
is that something else from in the woods?
Yeah, hello. All gosh, right. Chelsea. California.
Oh, yes.
Our state.
Love California.
Sunshine. Mm-hmm. Not Sunshine State.
No, that's
no. What are we?
Florida. We have a bear.
We're not the bear state, though. what are we? We're the golden state. Golden mm-hmm. state has been this administration's worst nightmare over the past year. And it seems that we're only getting worse for the likes of Trump and Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, the attorney general. As of January 1st, a whole crop of new laws. What?
Just because they got rid of Kevin Spacey from House of Cards, I think you could be his voiceover double. That's why the voice is so scary.
Oh.
You've been doing that all afternoon, and I'm like, oh my God, why is that sending?
I've been President Underwood.
Yes.
Oh.
Here I am. Think I'm going to get pushed in front of a moving subway?
Don't worry about it.
All right. Okay. So California.
Yeah. So a whole crop of new laws, January 1st, went into effect. Chelsea, can you just give us a little bit of idea of some of the good ones?
Okay. So first, I don't know if you have this happen. I don't work in the private sector anymore. But when you go from job to another job, does your new potential employer ask you how much did you make at your last job?
I did not have that question asked to me. I have seen it on applications, but I have not had it personally asked to me.
Well, they will not be asking it anymore.
On applications.
A job applicant could volunteer that information, how much they made at their last job, but they're no longer allowed to ask it, and this is supposed to help with pay disparity amongst men and women. So, cool. Nobody can ask you what you made before. Here's an interesting one that is very relevant for millennials. If you willfully record a video and stream it on Facebook of some violent attack, mm-hmm. you could be punished for just that act of filming it. And this is not like you catch police misconduct and you record that. This is you are videotaping a group of bullies beat up on somebody.
This is if you are taping for World Star on Facebook, you can be prosecuted.
Right. Okay. Yes. Good explanation.
Yeah.
This one I love. Animal lovers will like this.
Yeah.
And I love this because I know the woman who was the big movement to get the bull hooks illegal to, you know, sort of used to be to control elephants in the circus. So this is an effort by animal activists they can't just say we ban circuses, but if they ban the use of bull hooks and therefore circuses can't really operate without them. And therefore we effectively got rid of circuses
right after Barnum and Bailey closed down.
Well, they saw the writing on the wall. I mean, if you cannot come to California, you're not going to be making any money.
Just go see Disney on Ice like we did for Christmas.
Yeah, that doesn't involve animal cruelty.
No.
Yeah, so that is awesome. Oh, this one I love. I will no longer be afraid of jaywalking tickets.
Nice.
When I dash across the street once the hand starts flashing at me. Because I didn't know up until, I think it was recently, that once the hand starts flashing, and you cannot enter the crosswalk. That is considered...
It's kind of like a yellow light. You're really not supposed to go through the yellow light?
No, you cannot step off the curb.
Interesting. But what cop is like...
They did.
Sitting there.
Well, I mean, they did. But now it is totally kosher to jump into the crosswalk after the blinking hand has started, as long as you get to the other side by the time that the light turns green for the other. So less concern about jaywalking.
For those that live
tickets.
In New York, this is the norm. Used to it.
Oh, and here's something that I'm very thankful for. Big donors to state ballot measure campaigns will have to be better identified on advertisements in 2018.
John Chung talked about it last time he was here.
This is, of course, me. Somebody, you know, the lefter of the left is very concerned about the corruption and the hidden influence of big money on our elections. And this is a small, but I think meaningful way for us to know who's really sponsoring these advertisements, and hopefully we'll look to see, like, oh, this is sponsored by the Koch brothers.
Tom Steyer.
Yeah.
And it's $30 million.
Well, fine. I mean, and if you know that Tom Steyer's, you know, sponsoring something, if you believe in his politics, then you'll know sooner than later what this ad is really about, what the proposition is really about, if you see that it's supported.
But how many people are really going to pay attention to that?
I think enough of us do. Well, Drexel, we...
I'm asking the question. I mean, like,
well,
how
all
many
of our viewers
like,
listeners,
because
for sure.
Because I don't know, like, we'll see how these ads roll out. I'd be interested to see, like, is it going to be like, you know, one of those medical commercials like just rolling off everything? Is it going to flash at the bottom of the screen? Like, there's got to be a way for people to see it and pay attention. If not...
I think that this is going to be a little more obvious. And I don't think, if I remember correctly, there's something about, like, you can't have vague names like Americans for a Good America, like, because that's just so random and vague.
That's probably an actual
name of
organization.
A pack. Yeah. But you'll actually have to see, like, if something is called Americans for Good America, you'll probably have to see the individuals who are, like, the top three donors to that organization. And so you'll be able to know who is trying to influence your vote, which is
us.
Always a good thing.
We are trying to influence your
and
vote.
And finally.
The big one.
The big one.
The big wave.
You can
the
now.
The big smoke.
You can smoke. Now smoke recreationally. Marijuana is legal in California, medicinal and recreational. The world has not come to an end.
No.
I was surprised. I was expecting to hear news stories of, like, lines around the block at the stores.
I will say, I was in West Hollywood the other day with one of our hosts here, and I saw this line. I mean, the lines out of this, like, it was across the street. It was down Santa Monica Boulevard. It was crazy. It was nuts. And my friend, and then I went down the road a little bit further, and there was another one, and there was lines
out
of the thing.
Okay.
I think we're not seeing it on the news, maybe like the local news here in California, but I don't think that we're seeing it nationally because it's already been something that's been happening in two other states. Like, we're behind two other states.
Well, maybe, but I mean, California being the most populous state, it is going to be.
It's going to bring a lot of money.
I mean, just look at that. I mean, just look at all that tax money coming
right,
in.
Right. I mean, I think it's like $5 billion over the next like five. I don't know.
Oh, I think it's probably going to be like seven.
Yeah, something crazy.
But Californians, before you get too excited, know that there are a lot of regulations still attached to this. For example, you can't smoke or consume cannabis in any way, not even just while you're driving, but also while you're riding in a car as a passenger. I think that that might be something that people don't know and might get in trouble for.
Yeah, stick that reefer in the
But you can have a gram,
compartment.
You can grow your own 6 plants.
Right off your balcony.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I think we're going to consume less pain medication. It's going to have ripples of good news.
In California, for sure.
And people are going to, you know, come to California. It's going to increase tourism.
Yeah, In-N-Out will.
Oh my God, that's
make
probably
a lot of money. Listen, In-N-Out just introduced. What you said? That's what?
That's brilliant. Yeah. I didn't even think about In-N-Out.
If they haven't partnered by now, they're about to partner. They're going to start partnering with people because they just introduced Ghirardelli. Just partnered with them with hot chocolate, so you can get hot chocolate at In-N-Out now.
What?
I know. It's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, if you got the munchies, go to In-N-Out. Go to Jack in the Box. Get the munchie meal for munchies.
We are not here to promote fast food.
No, what I'm saying is that if you need it quick, then you got to go get it.
You know what we ought to invest in? We need to find, like, a healthy munchies fast food. Don't look at me like that.
I was trying to figure out what that meant, like what that would
there be. There is such thing as healthy munchies.
There is.
Yeah. Where animals were not slaughtered for their
But
meat.
I want to be able to taste something.
Yes. Hello. The reason why people have the munchies is because everything tastes better. We could probably sell people kale and they will like it because everything tastes better. I think. I haven't actually had kale when I've consumed
it. I actually haven't had kale.
I mean, I have had kale, but
okay.
I've never, you know, we'll see. Maybe, I'm not sure. But anyways.
Do you have your license?
You don't need a license.
No, I'm saying, did you have your license?
I did. For 1 year.
Uh-huh. I had mine for a year, too. Mm-hmm. I felt like a real Californian.
It felt cool, right?
I had my little vape pen.
Oh, see, I have yet to try.
They're cute. It's like this big. Walk around, and out.
Yeah, boop. Need to try it.
Yeah. We can't do it in the studio. Could you imagine?
The studio
would be like, I'm like, but it's legal.
I don't know what Kevin Murray
Trump
would
Report.
Say
we'll
that.
Do it in the Trump Report. We can't do it on this show. We're respectable people in this room.
When we move a couple doors down,
we'll do it down there. We'll do it down there.
But I think, I still run into people, you know, I'm talking about this new law. There are still people who say, yeah, but marijuana is a gateway drug. And now that opioid crisis is going to spread even bigger to California, because now that people are doing cannabis, they're going to start doing heroin.
Those what we've learned when we had Dr. Metzler on a few episodes ago, we know that you cannot get addicted to opioids via marijuana. It's
not a thing. And as much as like anecdotal stories of we know people that tried marijuana and they went and tried other things, apparently it's not statistically significant. And I think people we know end up doing becoming dependent on opioids because of pain-related conditions. Right. And if they're using cannabis,
they're not in pain.
We're going to have...
I do want to point out, because we are talking about marijuana, like if you're going out and you're buying marijuana and it's your first time or whatever, just make sure that you're doing it responsibly, and you're doing it in doses that you can handle, and that you're possibly doing it with people who know what they're doing. Like, I can't roll a joint. Like, I'm not that person. make sure you pass, you know, when you're passing it around, that you don't hold it. Like, there's rules to it. Okay? I just want to make sure everybody understands there are rules to smoking marijuana.
I feel like there's, like, of all the online courses that are now coming out, like, how to partake in, you know,
we will not be doing it on this show, but I'm just giving you the basics.
All right. I think the people will probably appreciate that.
Yeah. Guys, I need to get a haircut. I'm like, what? I can see myself on my computer, and my bachelor party is next week, so we'll be in New Orleans, but I cannot get a haircut until then.
I don't understand what this experience is of.
Yeah, see, it's a long story, but basically, I don't want, like, your haircut time has to be very specific, because you don't want to grow a certain length. It's like a whole thing. Anyway.
Wow. I mean, I got my hair cut and I it's the same now.
My hair grows really
fast,
but right now I cannot get a haircut, and it is it's looking crazy. Anyway, California.
No.
Speaking of California, Dianne Feinstein, the senior senator from California, released the transcript from the Senate Intelligence Committee, a closed hearing with Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson. So if you guys remember, Fusion GPS was the company that was responsible for footing part of, if not the whole thing, of the bill for the Steele dossier, the Christopher Steele dossier, or the PP document. Republicans have tried and continue to try to paint the Steele dossier as a work of fiction, even though countless parts of the dossier have been confirmed not only through testimony, but through investigations and investigative reporters. And we've seen articles written about it, and things have just been confirmed from the White House and things like that, even though they've been trying to make this thing sound like it is fake news, and it is not. A couple of months ago, Fusion GPS issued a statement asking the Senate Intelligence Committee to release the transcript because it would be of national interest and provide context to some of the issues that have been brought up during the ongoing Russia investigation. Senate Intelligence Chairman Richard Burr refused to release the testimony and at the objection of a lot of Republicans because they thought it was a national security issue, as they do. That will always be the go-to for Republicans.
Why they can't release something.
Why they can't release something because they believe it's a national security issue. Ranking Member Mark Warner, who has been great from Virginia, spent way too much time placating Richard Burr, trying to be a little nice, like, hey, we're just working it out. Like, he'd go on TV. We're just working it out. I'd like for them to release it. Never really happened. He didn't really push hard enough. And then Dianne Feinstein's office today was like, you know what?
Here y'all are.
Release. Dianne Feinstein was our own internal WikiLeaks.
Oh, that's an interesting way of putting it. So, okay, first, my couple questions about this. When was this testimony given, this Glenn Simpson testimony? How old is it?
I think it was October. So it was a long time ago.
And so why did she decide to release it today?
So she said that after speaking with the majority of she released a statement saying that after speaking with the majority of minority committee staff for 10 hours, Glenn Simpson requested the transcript of his interview be released publicly because it was behind closed doors. The American people deserve the opportunity to see what he said and judge for themselves. The innuendo and misinformation circulating about the transcript are part of a deeply troubling effort to undermine the investigation into potential collusion and obstruction of justice. The only way to set the record straight is to make the transcript public. So she did that. Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman, of another committee. Actually, he's the chairman of that committee. No, he's the chairman of another committee. Said, it's totally confounding that Senator Feinstein would unilaterally release a transcript of a witness interview in the middle of an ongoing investigation, a witness that Senator Feinstein herself subpoenaed last year for lack of cooperation. But then today, then hours later, John Cornyn from Texas, who is like Trump's like guy, one of Trump's guys, was like, yeah, I don't have a problem with Dianne Feinstein releasing this. Like, it's bizarre. The people, like, up supporting her releasing it, the people, like...
I mean, it is really interesting that she just on her own decided to release this. Okay, fine. Like, more information, the better, especially if there's not really a national security issue. What does... I mean, I hear that the testimony is really long and most of it's actually pretty boring.
312 pages.
Okay, so, like, what is the real juicy part of it?
So there are a lot of it is confirming some of the things that Republicans have been, like I said, Republicans have been trying over the past few months to paint the Steele dossier as a Democratic document. Because if you remember, they tried to link the Steele dossier to Fusion. Fusion, they said, was working with the DNC. The DNC, Christopher Steele, was then employed by Hillary Clinton's campaign, and like it became this thing. So they're trying to paint it as a complete Democratic document. But a couple of the excerpts that Glenn Simpson said of the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele is a MI6. From Britain, Russian expert. Like, that is his field, is Russia. So he's not an American. Like, he has no interest in America's – like, he has no investment in that other than he is an ally. He worked for an intelligence agency that is an ally to our intelligence agency. And that's where he started with this whole thing. And he said that Christopher Steele spoke to the FBI in Rome, giving them a full briefing of the dossier that he had compiled, and that the FBI had other intelligence at the same time about those things in the dossier, probably from George Papadopoulos, from an internal campaign source, and that they believe that Chris's information might be credible enough because other intelligence – other agencies had indicated the same thing, and one of the pieces of intelligence was a human source with that was inside the Trump organization. This is Glenn Simpson now giving parts of this testimony. So what we know is that Christopher Steele went to the FBI. The FBI did not go to Christopher Steele.
Gotcha.
Fusion did not go to Christopher Steele.
Gotcha.
Christopher Steele, as a part of being an MI6 Russian, you know, expert doing his job, found a couple things that he thought were, because he was concerned that information that he had gathered represented a national security threat to the United States, and that he wanted someone within the American government to know that. He also mentioned that he thought, from his perspective, that there was an issue about whether a presidential candidate was being blackmailed. In this case, it was Donald Trump. So he is trying to so Christopher Steele's whole thing was that he was trying to alert the American government that Russia was meddling in the foreign affairs. It is a national security threat, and it is likely that one of our presidential candidates was being blackmailed by somebody in Russia.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow. Okay. So this, I mean, when this came out, I was like, okay, this is interesting. But now I'm like, holy shnikes, this is actually no small deal. This is, we're going to, this is a ginormous.
Yeah. Or okay. As Joe Biden would say, it's a big effing deal.
Yeah. Okay. Holy, okay. So, got it.
And so that, so then Glenn Simpson said that in his testimony that it only took him 72 hours as a computer whiz, to find Trump's ties to Russia, the Russian mob, and money laundering that was happening out of Russia.
Oh, wow. That is in his testimony.
That's in his testimony.
Okay. Mic drop?
Yeah. And, like, he was doing, like it wasn't like a quick Google search, but it was kind of like a quick Google search for him. He was like, Trump, Russia, mob, bing, 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 bing. You know, like that GIF with the lady and like she's like looking everywhere and there's all the equations around her head.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's Glenn Simpson, wow, like trying to explain everything.
Wow. Okay. I can't wait for the tweet from, yeah, the president. That's.
I don't know that he is going. I'm sure his lawyers are just, they are trying to figure it all out.
I think they're going to say, like, you know, Michael Wolff was really Chris Steele. Like, he's going to try and deflect this with, you know, something about the book. This is just as phony as the book.
The Michael Wolff book, yeah.
Yeah.
But
there's going to be some creative last deflection.
Last week, Republicans, so, you know, it's clear that Republicans have been trying to keep this from the American people, because last week they recommended that the Justice Department take a hard look at Christopher Steele, not only to discredit him, but to possibly jail him for basically compiling this information and shopping it to journalists, even though it was his information. So he gave it to the FBI, and then journalists kind of got picked up. So they are saying that because he gave that class of what I'm sure somebody classified it later, information, that he gave it to journalists, and that could be a potential crime. But what it looks like is that Republicans are definitely in some sort of full scale cover up of the president, and that's why I say, you know, blink twice for Jeff Sessions. I'm sorry, Jeff Sessions too. Bob Corcoran and Lindsey Graham and some of these guys who are have been consistent national security hawks, but who are just
blinded.
The blinders on them is astonishing to me. It's crazy. Ted Lieu of California said Fusion GPS transcript shows that what Senator Grassley and Graham did last week in publicly referring Christopher Steele for criminal investigation was at best a partisan publicity stunt and at best intentionally designed. Intentionally designed to mislead the American people, which is exactly what has been happening.
Wow.
Looking at all of this, what's happening, like, you know, I want this investigation to speed up as quickly as possible so we can actually, you know, get rid of this guy and move on.
You want a
slow drip? You want a slow drip?
I mean, the curiosity in me wants us to all come pouring out right now. But I am okay with this kind of stuff coming out enough to reflect poorly upon the Republican Party, enough to turn the House and the Senate blue,
right,
at the end of the year. And then we can just sit pretty while Donald Trump is a lame duck president until everybody sees the light and agrees that Oprah should be president in 2020.
Well, to your point, we are 9 days into 2018. We do have very big elections coming up. Like, I feel like this is the biggest midterm election. Like, midterms are not flashy things. Like, nobody ever talks about the midterms, which is why voter turnout is always so low. But I
Let's go on the limb and say that voter turnout in at least, I don't know how many states or counties, is going to be higher in the midterms this year than it was for the 2016
presidential election. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because listen, we always say, you know, this election is the election of our lifetime. This one, I mean, we will never be the same after this. This is the big one.
Yeah.
But no, really, we're like, no, this one actually is the big one.
Yeah. It is exciting for folks like us who are like political, like, you know, nerds where we're looking at stuff because it's exciting to watch. It's scary in certain parts of the country where we want to make sure that people are represented by somebody who gives a shit about them.
Yeah.
And
ooh, that's going to be easier in North Carolina. Did you just hear the breaking news that a federal court struck down North Carolina's their map for how they are supposed to vote for their people was determined to be unconstitutional because it was very obvious that Republicans were trying to sort of subvert the vote of some people in order to entrench the Republicans into their seats, making it harder for them to be replaced by Democrats. So the judge is giving them another chance to redo their map. And so hopefully North Carolina will, I mean, because they're pretty like 50-50. They're right. Pretty
it's
purple.
I mean, I went to school there. I mean, the big cities, Raleigh and Durham and Charlotte, for the most part, are very blue areas, and they have they're the densest population. So I think that North Carolina has a Democratic governor right now. They have a supermajority in the state legislature right now, so it's kind of deadlocked. Like, I think I read an article where it said that North Carolina is no longer a functioning democracy.
What? Why?
Yeah, because they can't do anything.
Probably because of this gerrymandering business.
Yeah. So good on North Carolina. We'll see what happens with that Supreme Court.
Good on that judge.
Good on that judge. But we'll see what happens with that Supreme Court case that we brought up a couple of weeks ago before the break.
Which is about this very same issue.
Very same issue. So we'll see what the Supreme Court says. But it is so important this year for things like that because judges are confirmed by the Senate. And this year, we have some big elections coming up. Like I said, all 435 congressional House seats are up for re-election. 34 Senate seats are up for election. 26 of those seats are held by the Democrats. To flip the Senate, Democrats would need to pick up two additional races. They need to hang on to their 26, and they need to pick up two more races. Those two races currently held by Republicans in Arizona, which we talked about, Joe Arpaio, and Nevada have a strong potential to turn blue this year, with Texas Democrats showing a strong presence and an effort to knock out Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke, who is coming on this show this season. So we're excited to have him. A long shot, but possible. Democrats really have they really have to protect Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Bill Nelson in Florida, and Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin. I would say like the Heidi Heitkamp and the Joe Manchins, but the pushback from them will come from the Democrats, if anybody. It won't. I mean, it will be a fight with Democrats. It won't be a fight with the state. Like, I think it's a safe blue for Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp, but it's just going to be what kind of Democrat is going to come out of that. But it also could have worse implications if it's somebody that is too left in those states, and there's a reason why they vote the way that they do, and it's because their states are a little pink. Mm-hmm. Pinker than purple, you know, mm-hmm. not purple.
So I'm really looking forward to, I believe there are 8 Republican seats in California that could potentially flip blue.
In the House.
Yes.
218 to control the House. To flip the House, Democrats would need to pick up 25 seats.
Sounds like a lot, but when there's 435 seats total, maybe
not. And a handful of those are already right here in California. So I think I said right before the break, Democrats are currently, we partner with Run for Something on this show. They're doing great work, Flippable, Swing Left, all those big, organizations that are getting out, finding candidates, recruiting them and getting them to run for something, Democrats are currently contesting every race across the country for the first time, except for 17 races, which they are currently recruiting for.
Like, we already had two of the candidates to who want to replace Steve Knight.
Yep.
Santa Clarita.
Which they're coming back. We're going to do a debate right here in the studio. It's going to be a lot of fun.
First time.
Yeah.
So that was Katie Hill and Brian Caforio. And then soon we'll have on a friend of mine who is running against Dana Rohrabacher. Though that field is huge. There are a lot of people that want to unseat Dana Rohrabacher.
Who Republicans have refused to pay for his international flights because he is a compromised United States congressperson because of his ties to Russia. Like, there is no reason why this guy should be a United States congressperson. Daryl Issa needs to be knocked out. So there's 8 competitive races here in California. There is a 90% chance that Democrats flip all 8 of those races. And so it's going to be very exciting to see.
Yeah. Now, if only we would just start getting our stuff together and start actually coming up with plans of what we're going to do right. Once we get in. So we don't have the situation again where we get in and we're like, okay, what now what? Yeah.
Like you said at the top, 25 seats may sound like a lot. They are competitive. But 30 Republicans have announced they are retiring at the end of the term. 8 of those Republicans are Republican chairmen of House committees.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that much.
Crazy. I feel like, what's her name? Rachel Maddow right now. the other part of that, so we always talk about the House, we always talk about the Senate, but the other big piece, of course, are governors. Republicans currently control the Governors Association, holding 33 of the 50 governors' mansions. There's little chance that the Democrats are going to control the Governors Association, but there are at least 8 toss-up races that we should be watching in Nevada, where Governor Sandoval cannot run for re-election. Florida, where Rick Scott cannot run for re-election, but it's a good chance that he might run, that he is running for United States Senate against Bill Nelson. Ohio, where John Kasich cannot run for re-election. Michigan, Maryland, and Illinois, all of those governors cannot run for re-election. So there's a good chance that Democrats can pick up those governors' mansions. Maryland has a really crowded field of progressive Democrats and great Democrats. Ben Jealous, who used to be the head of the NAACP, is running.
A fellow of the Sanders Institute currently.
Elijah Cummings, who I know is out and on medical leave right now. He's having some medical issues right now. His wife was running for governor in Maryland. She just suspended her campaign to kind of go be with him. So be looking out for those. And somebody asked me the other day what you can do. First of all, there's a lot of races down ballots. We just talked about the House, the Senate, the governor's race. There's a lot of races down ballot, municipal races that are equally as important in your cities, mayoral races, county commissioner races, city council races, a district attorney race in Durham, super important, juvenile court clerks in Shelby County, Tennessee. So while all of these national races really impact us, as a whole, municipal races are the ones that you really have to be focused on because they affect your day-to-day life in your city, where you live, what you eat, where you drive, jaywalking, stuff like that. Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like those are the things that's why it's so important to have those municipal races. Why you get involved in those.
And those also like load up our bench, right, for the up-and-comers.
Yeah, exactly. If you sit on a commission, a city commission, you know, that will catapult your if you get appointed to a city commission, that could catapult your political career and get you started to do that. Somebody asked me what you can do is if you're from out of state, reach out to folks who you know in those areas. Talk to them about their elections. Listen to podcasts or watch shows like ours. Remind them that their elections are coming up. Donate money to those campaigns.
I know that's like the thing is that a lot of us and millennials are like, don't you know how much I'm struggling? Don't ask me for money. But right now, I mean, I don't like how much money has to do with our elections. It's a little bit of the reality right now. I mean, you could help by promoting candidates on social media. Right. That way they don't have to pay for social media promotions. So you can, in your own way, give to campaigns by promoting these candidates. Or, I mean, go do the old school door knocking thing. Like, that stuff
canvassing,
works
for
on
sure.
A local level.
Find your local, if you're in your state, find your local Democratic clubs, get involved, sit on a board. County Democratic parties, those are the ones that really choose the candidates, or become a state delegate to your state's Democratic
but
party.
But just so. Whatever we do, we can't be like, oh my gosh, the Republicans are such a shit show. They're coming apart at the seams. All I got to do is sit here and eat some popcorn and enjoy the view, and things will take care of themselves. because that's just not the way that it works. And also, unless we are actively involved, the politicians don't know what we really want. Right. Like, sure, they might turn blue, but then what are they going
to
do?
That's why town halls are so important.
So show up to those.
To show up to those and get out. Tammy in the chat room says, would love a whole show on how the maps and gerrymandering affect voting. Certainly.
Oh, yeah.
We'll make that something we bring up in the next few weeks. As always, we love viewer feedback and listener feedback, so continue to leave your comments and thoughts on the show or on anything you heard today via Twitter at PoliticalBeatTV or email us at politicalbeattv@gmail.com or leave your comments below. We love seeing those and getting to know you guys a little better. We'll actually be back January 23rd because I'm off to New Orleans next week.
Enjoy.
So if you're in New Orleans, stop by Cafe Dumont. I might have to get a beignet and say hi. Chelsea, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Chelsea Glacia.
You can find me at Drexel Hurd. We will see you all in just a couple of weeks. See you later.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.